All right, doing a show here with Otto Atkinson, who I would consider a swimming genius. How you doing, mate?
Great, Brett. How are you?
Good, mate. Now, where are you coming from? Where are you living?
I live in Tamworth in New South Wales, in like the Hunter, New England region. Tamworth, it's a small city.
Now, you and I met each other at a swim clinic, right?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, on a Sunday morning. Heard about the Michael Klim swim clinic. I was very excited to go and I forgot all about it. But then my housemaster texts me saying, Otto, there's a swim clinic on and I'm so excited. I was very desperate to go. So I went up and I turned up and I was so amazed to actually meet Michael Klim, Adam Pine and even you, Brett, like live and in the flesh. And I was just so impressed. I didn't expect to see you there, but how good was that? Shook your hand, and when you noticed like the knowledge I have about swimming, I just noticed you'd be just such a close mate because we've got similar knowledge and stuff, and we just get along really well. It was great memory.
I loved it, mate. Now, listen, you said you forgot about the clinic. You don't seem like the type of person that forgets much.
No, I don't actually. That's what lots of people say.
All right, now listen, we're going to hit you with some swimming questions because you're just a freak with your knowledge of swimming at your age. It's quite remarkable. And a lot of people think you're going to be a world famous commentator in the future, the way that you kind of recite stuff and put your own passion to it. Now, what's your favorite subject? What's your favorite topic to talk about in swimming?
Favorite topic? Good question. Well, I've got a fair few different ones, but one is just like asking me about the athlete and, you know, how good they are, asking me who holds the world record in what, and maybe even like you did, what happened in so-and-so's race, or even just like, you know, the races and who was in what lane and what who came what.
Now, mate, how do you know this stuff? How do you learn? Where do you get your knowledge from?
Well, good question. This is what lots of people ask me, but Brett, it's just because I love my swimming so much. It's kind of a hobby for me. Just, you know, I'll be watching a swimming race. I'll see a new swimmer. I might search that swimmer up and it's just going to come up with more and more like videos of them and what they've done. And then I start to remember, oh, so they're a sprinter or a long distance swimmer. They do this or that. And I might watch the same race like 3 months after I did. So I watched a bit of swimming yesterday and I learned a new fact. A lady by the name of Casadello, I don't know her first name, she's a French swimmer. I didn't know, but she was a part of the 4x50 freestyle relay in Melbourne that broke the world record. She was very good at ISL and I just didn't know that. So there's a new fact I learned yesterday from watching a bit of swimming.
Wow, that's awesome, mate. Now, would you say that you have some type of photographic memory?
Yeah, I probably do, actually. Got lots of photographic memory of swimming.
So when you hear something or you read something or watch something, it kind of sticks in your mind, does it?
Yeah, it does. I tend to, Brett, I've got this habit and I just can't stop it, but I might be walking around and just, I might, you know, just speak to myself sometimes and I might just say something. And normally that something might come from a commentary, like at the end of a race or before a race, like when the commentators speak, I can sometimes remember some races, what those commentators say.
Wow. That's pretty gifted, mate. How old are you again?
14. 14. I turn 15 next year.
Awesome, mate. Well, this is cool. I'm very excited to get into it a little bit. You give me a topic you want to start on. Give me something you want to start with.
All right. Well, I don't mind, but just saying London 2012, it's quite like easy for me to remember even who was in what lane. Not every event, but fair few events.
Wow. Well, listen, I coached an athlete. I'm going to start with a real tough one. I'm going to test you on this one.
Sorry to interrupt you, but I already know who that athlete is. And it's not just one, but two. You got Cesar Cielo, Fiat Filho of Brazil, and Fred Busquet of France. And
Listen, I did coach those guys at one stage, and I believe at that stage I was still coaching Fred, but I wasn't coaching Caesar at that particular Olympics. He ended up getting the bronze medal in the 50 free. I wasn't with him. I was coaching a girl by the name of Ariana Vanderpool Wallace. Do you know what country she's from?
Ariana Vanderpool Wallace.
She swam in the 50 yes. freestyle final.
Ariana Vanderpool. Oh, of course, yes. From the Bahamas.
Yeah, she's mate.
Yes, and also I remember, but she was a great swim, probably the Bahamas best. She got a silver at the Commonwealth Games, mm-hmm. 2014 in Glasgow. She won at Pan American Games, gold in the 50 free, and got bronze in the 100. She was a good freestyle sprinter.
She was, mate. Yeah, there you go. See, I tested you hard the first one, and you came through for me. Look at that. Dug it out of yes. your brain. I like that.
Yeah, thanks.
Awesome. Well, what else happened in 2012? 2012 was an interesting Olympics. The 100 free was particularly interesting. Talk me through the men's 100 free.
Oh, thank you, Brett. I love this race, but it was pretty intense. Lots of pressure was put on James Magnussen. He didn't have a good start to the Olympics, not getting a medal in the 4x100 free. They even thought the Aussies could win, but Russia took the bronze. But anyway, you had James Magnussen as the favourite, world champion before, and did an insane time, 47.10 at trials. Everyone was scared. He qualified fastest. But then you had other fast swimmers who had been having good Olympicses, like Yannick Arniel, already got a gold in the 4x1, lane one. Then Nathan Adrian was in lane five, but Cesar Cielo, people were putting eyes on him to get a medal because he was in lane two. And, yeah, it was a tough race. But the race was very quick and stuff. Everyone did good times, but it was very tight, and everyone thought Magnussen could win. But second lap, he's leading. It's still going, and it's either one of those two, I don't know, but no. Adrian just touches him out, 1/100, devastating. Everyone was shocked. No one thought Adrian would win, but he just ended up taking the gold medal. Great race for him, probably one of his best, or maybe the best. And Magnussen got shocked because he got silver and beaten by 1/100, smallest margin. I've always thought to myself, Brett, wouldn't it have been great if they tied for gold? But Magnussen didn't do it, but at least he got a medal. And then Brent Hayden of Canada, lane seven, got bronze. Fourth was Arniel. Fifth, Cielo in lane two. Sixth, trying to think. I know Garcia in lane three, he got seventh, and eighth was the Russian, and sixth was sixth place. Who was that? Can't remember. I think I'd remember.
We stumped you on sixth place, eh? Well, yeah, we'll let you off on that one. That's pretty good memory there. But what kind of impact do you think that had on Magnussen to go in as the favorite and come away 100th? It kind of hurt him, didn't it?
Oh, it wouldn't have just hurt him. It would have actually probably devastated him. Would have been very tough for him. I did actually hear an interview. This wasn't with you, but with Swim Swan. They did an interview why Magnussen got second place, and it was tough for him. He was had bloodshot eyes. He told me on the podcast that he was going through a tough time, and after the 4x100, he was already quite shocked that it wasn't a great Olympics, and he was just going through a tough time, and there was pressure on him, and it wasn't easy for him being at the Olympics, being the favourite, because if you want to be the gold medalist and you've got the pressure on you, just because you're physically strong doesn't mean you're going to win, but you got to be mentally strong as well, because that's probably what Adrian had better than Magnussen to be able to overthrow him, because I was pretty surprised, even though Magnussen was going through a tough time, he still got beaten by the smallest margin. I'm just thinking if he was a bit more confident, a bit more just better in the mind, probably would have actually beaten Adrian or whoever by more than 10 milliseconds.
Yeah, you're right. What about your knowledge on women? How is that? Is it equal to the men?
I wouldn't say it's 100% equal, Brett, but it's like, depending on like the really good female swimmers, I still know lots about them, but it's kind of depending on the level. They're really good, I'd know lots about them, but if they're not great, I wouldn't know. But some women races, I remember everyone who was in what lane, and most races I don't.
What's your favorite women's race?
Good question. Do you mean as in like just favorite race of all time for women, or like
yeah favorite all time?
Oh, that's tough. Okay, I think I know who it has. I feel like it has to be an Aussie, and that probably race is probably the probably 100 freestyle in Tokyo that Emma McKean was able to win.
Yeah, give us the rundown of that race.
Oh, I can't tell you everything. It's tough, but I do know you've got Emma McKean as the favorite again. She had pressure on herself. Then Siobhan Hoggy of Hong Kong, she was in lane 5, and she was a very tough competitor. Then you've got Kate Campbell in lane 3, still trying to go for a gold medal. She didn't have the best time in Rio, but this is her second chance. And then don't forget about Abby Whitesall of USA in lane 2. But it's a tough race. Anna Hopkin as well from Team GB in lane 8. So that's, I think, all I remember, everyone. So it's a tight race. They start off. Also, just quickly, Sarah Soystrom. She was lane 6, that's right. Anyway, they dive in. It's very fast. Siobhan Hoy, she's off to a fast start. McKean's keeping up, so is Kate Campbell. But then out on lane 8, Anna Hopkins, she's leading the way. After the turn, it's very tight, but that's where it starts to push away. Abby Whitesall was very fast as well, but then Hoggy and McKean, they're starting to push away from everyone else, but Kate Campbell's along. And don't forget, I just remembered just then, lane 7 was Penny Oleksiak, defending champion. But yeah, she's tight, and it's, you can kind of slowly tell after probably 25 meters to go, it's McKean or Hohe. Anyway, it's tight, fast, but McKean's just able to overtouch her, pull ahead. She touches with an Olympic record time. Hohe gets the second, and Kate Campbell just edges over Oleksiak to get bronze. And it's good for the Aussies, but Kate, Emma McKean, she gets an Olympic record time, second fastest in history, second behind Sarah Soystrom's world record from Budapest. I think it's a 51.37, something like that, 51 low. Anyway, it's great for Emma. She's so happy and delighted to get an individual gold medal. So is Kate and Siobhan. She's very happy to get a silver medal as well.
Yeah, good recollection, mate. I don't know if it was that fast. I don't think it was 51.3. It was quick.
53 or 52, I think.
Yeah, it was quick. I don't know. We'll have to check the times on that one.
It was definitely an Olympic record, though.
Yeah, I like it, man. I like your recollection there. Let's go to Rio. How's your memory on Rio?
Pretty good. Rio and London probably. So Rio, London, and Tokyo are probably like my best, and I'd say it goes like London, Rio, Tokyo of knowledge.
Okay, so obviously there was an epic race in many epic races, but one of the classics was the men's 100 butterfly in Rio. That was a great race, hey?
Yeah. See, a funny thing, Brett, about that is I actually watched the person who won, and I'll tell you in a second. But I watched about I watched a video about him. I think it was a couple of weeks ago or something, maybe 2 weeks ago. So that's how I learned, like, remembered, oh, so he was in this lane, and, yeah. So that's how I remembered. So you just want me to go through who won what and stuff?
Yeah, just talk through the race.
Okay, So Singapore, this is all about Singapore, this race. It's where they've got their first chance. Well, they've had many chances, but this is their big moment to win the Olympic gold medal. You got Joseph Schooling. Then lanes 1 to 8. Lane 1, you've got the young Russian, Alexander, someone, not Popoff. But then lane 2, Phelps. Phelps is in lane 2, so he's not the fastest qualifying into this final. Lane 3, Lee of China. 4, you got Schooling, he's fastest. Then 5, Chad Leclos, he's very desperate for the win. Lane 6, Laszlo Shea, he's big chance of this. Got second last in Kazan year before. 7 is Tom Shields of USA. He's beaten Phelps before, so he's got a good shot. Then you got Mehedi Metalla. He's been a finalist last year as well, so one of the best. Anyway, all the pressure is on Schooling. Everyone's keeping eyes on him because he was really good in heats and semis, and now he's in the final, and it's just a very action-packed race, tight. So they start off right. Schooling's gone off to a great lead. See, that's something I remember as well. The commentator says this: Schooling's reaction in the semifinals was the best by far, and so he starts well again. He's in lane 4. Then it's tight. He still leads at the 50. He's still leading. He's got a good turn. Chad's up there as well. Phelps needs to work his way up. Laszlo Shea's there as well. But also Lee and the Russian, they're in second and third at the turn as well behind him. Very tight. Schooling still leading. After 25, everyone's jumping up, going wild. Come on, come on, win. And he's definitely going to win, but who's going to get silver? He touches an Olympic record and boom, boom. Brett, you got 3 silver medalists. 3. Phelps gets silver, Laszlo Shea gets silver, and Chad. What an action-packed race, and so good. But how good for Schooling. A bit surprised why he didn't get on the lane ropes and, like, throw his hands up. Let's go, Singapore. But he sets an Olympic record of a 50-39 or something. It's definitely 50. But second is Phelps, and they all tie for third. Second, Laszlo Shea and Chad Leclos.
Yeah, epic swim, epic race, eh? Pretty crazy. What about you? You did tell me your favorite swimmer was Flo Manadou. Why do you like Flo so much?
Oh, Brett, I could say probably an hour's worth of stuff about him, but...
Oh, by the way, I sent him your little video that we... and he replied back, and he said that he loved your message to him.
Oh, thanks so much. It'd be so good to even talk to him and stuff, and thanks so much for that. Such a pleasure. But the reason why I like Flo so much is because the way with his swim career, he's just kind of, I'd say, if I could use one word to describe him, it's probably just never gives up or unstoppable. Because his career, the thing I loved about his career, he just started off like just normal as a finalist and then got better and better and better. That's what I love. So I just loved watching his race, probably my favorite actually, London race, or one of my favorite races of all time, 53 in London. He just surprised the whole world, getting the gold medal, joins his sister as an Olympic gold medalist. How good for him. It would have been a bit better for him if he was in the 4x100 freestyle relay, but this is only just where his career started. Then in Barcelona, doesn't get a medal in the 53, still, pardon me, gets a medal in the relay, but then in Doha, it really gets good. He breaks 3 world records in one night, 50 back, 53, 4x100. You know, if Chad wasn't there, he would have been best swimmer at those world champs. And then in Kazan, he breaks the textile world record that Cielo set in Barcelona, 21:37, does a 21:19. So good for him. And then Rio, that's where he started to struggle a bit. After getting 2 silver medals and not the gold, similar to Magnussen's story, he then, you know, gets very probably distressed and tough for him, a tough road. He quits swimming and goes to handball. But the thing I love is then he thinks, no, I need to get back to swimming. Quits the handball, goes back to swimming, earns a medal in Tokyo, and now he's training for a home Olympics next year.
Yeah, he is, mate. And I was just chatting with him. He just swam at the European Championships tonight and got second to Ben Proud. So that was a big swim.
Oh, yes. Oh, let's go. I'm so happy for Ben that he actually won. But I actually was watching the other day, Brett. Ben swam in the relay. I don't know what relay, but he got a medal for Great Britain in the relay. And it's great to see him swimming in a relay because he doesn't often. He's normally focusing on just his 53 and 50 butterfly.
Yeah. He had a phenomenal year last year, Ben. And I think just the way he's put his career together, I think he's due for that big Olympic medal too, you know?
Oh, I spoke to my mum actually. I love telling my family about what I know and stuff. And I told my mum, Ben at the minute, he is one of my heroes. Like, even though he doesn't have an Olympic medal, he's just like that underdog I love to watch. And I think Cam McAvoy's got a great shot at gold or even a medal in the 53 next year. I'm very hoping he's on that podium, but I'm kind of more going for Ben because similar story to Bruno Frattis, who you definitely know. He, in London, finished fourth, then got an even worse result in Rio, finishing sixth in a home Olympics. Then in Tokyo, he just did what he wanted, got a medal. Similar to Ben, Rio finished fourth, Tokyo finished fifth, a worse result. Same thing might happen. Might get a bronze or silver, even gold, I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. Now let's go back to a race where they call it the greatest relay swim in history, 2008. Can you talk us through that one?
Oh, I can totally get you through that one. Okay, so it's Beijing Olympics 2008. The French swim team were very competitive and stuff. They had been very fast. They had great sprinters, Alain Bernard, Fred Bousquet, Fabien Guillot, and also Amaury Laveau. And they were very good in semifinals and stuff, qualified fourth fastest. Then USA, they're very worried, hopefully we don't lose because then Phelps is not going to be able to get his 8 gold medals. That would suck. Anyway, it's all about that. USA have Jason Lezak, Colin Jones, Garrick Weber-Gale, and Phelps. Okay, so then the race is between those two. Aussies are also fast as well, but Phelps starts off. But just reverse back a bit, the French team, this is the order they were going to go in. Amaury Laveau first, then second, Bernard, third, Fabien Guillot, and then fourth, Fred. But then, like, I think the coaches or something, I don't know who, the people who organise them said, no, we need to change it around because we want Bernard to finish off and because he's our best sprinter, we want him to finish off and, like, celebrate the win. Mm. But that frustrated Fred, made him very annoyed. He actually spoke to you, but you just helped him out a bit and he gave him a bit more confidence. They changed it to this. Fred going third, Guillot going second, and Bernard going fourth. And after all, he was the fastest, but Fred was the most experienced. They start off the race. Phelps is good, but Eamon Sullivan leads, breaks a world record in the 100. Good for the Aussies. Then dives in Andrew Lawson. He dives in, then French take over. Weber-Gale for USA is in the water. Then Fred Bousquet dives in, keeps the lead going, extends it a bit more over Cullen Jones and also the Aussie team. Then Bousquet's leading, then dives in. Also Ashley Callis, who swam in 2000, he's swimming for Australia, dives in. Then it's Bernard, pressure's on him, but you got Jason Lezak, the veteran. He dives in 3/100ths after Cullen Jones touches the wall. It's so tight. You obviously, everyone's 90% thinking, yep, it's going to be French because they're about a body length in front. Then at the turn, Bernard's still leading, but Lezak's not just giving up. But you think it's the French team and just slowly he starts poking his way up and he's just chasing him down. And I've seen a video of Phelps's face, his like emotions and his facial looks. He's singing, come on, come on. And then after about 15 meters to go, Lezak's actually like right next to him, chasing him down, chase, 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 past the flags, and boom, you're going crazy. USA beat him. New world record time. It's insane. Bernard has to settle with the silver. He's screwed up for France and they get silver. You can't believe it, but Phelps has just gone wild. Yes, I've still got a shot at winning 8 golds. Oh, he's so happy, and that's why it's the greatest race of all time, because it's the greatest comeback of all time in swimming history, and no one, like, if you're a genius like me, how could you not know that race? And Aussies get third, but it's just such a good race.
Classic race, mate. I love that one. What is your, just to finish up on testing you, and I think we'll might put this out and we might get people to put more questions in for you, bring you back again next time. Or the even better, you know what we'll do in the future too is we'll get you on a live show when the swimming's on, you know, like maybe for like the Australian Championships or something, you can commentate live.
Oh, you're joking, Brett.
That'd be cool.
Honestly, Brett, I just really have to thank you so much. I knew you'd bring great opportunities to me, but it's just such a pleasure even talking to you. But like, Brett, many times I've tried to, there's been posts on Instagram, like Cody Miller, Matt Richards of Team GB, to, like, you know, win prizes and stuff, and or who can give me the best race, and I've entered many times like that, but it's tough. It's never really worked, and, like, it's just been so great to even just talk to you now.
Yeah, mate, we'll get you going. We'll get you on the live show. People loved you. Your little thing that I put on Instagram blew up, mate. Everybody loved it, so it was cool.
Thanks so much, because you got me about 100, nearly 50, like, followers. Because on my Instagram, it says, like, 80 other people plus other people wanted to follow you. And I'm like, wow, and it's all swimming related, so many.
That's cool, mate. That's cool. All right, let's finish off with your favorite race of all time. What's your ultimate favorite race?
Good question. Trying to think, there's so many options, but just my greatest race, feel like it has to be an Aussie, but I think it's gonna be my favorite swimmer. Probably it's probably Flo's race. It's the 50 freestyle London 2012 Olympics.
Yeah, talk me through that one. That was a close race.
Oh, so tight. So this is what happens. Florent Manodou of France, he's the only swimmer out of 8 swimmers to not really be known to be a good swimmer. He made the final in the 50 fly year before Shanghai, didn't get a medal, finished 5th. Like, you're not really known if you make one final and then it's the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
Some people might know you, but... So this is what happens. Lane 1, Eamon Sullivan. He's broken the world record 3 times. Everyone thinks he's a big contender. You got George Bovell of Trinidad and Tobago. He got a medal in the 50-200 IM behind Phelps and Ryan Lochte in Athens. So he's a fast sprinter, good at lots of strokes. Then in lane 3, Anthony Irvin. Who doesn't know Tony? He's finally back after the 2000 Olympics, took a big long break and retired, and everyone thinks he's got a good shot because he, just like started training quite late but just got really fast and qualified, beat even Adrian. How good's that? But then lane 4, you got Cielo, world record holder, champion in Dubai and Rome and actually Shanghai. Everyone thinks he's the favorite, qualified fastest. Then lane 5, Cullen Jones, they tied in the semi, so now he's a close competitor. Best in America, and we always know USA swimmers are great. Lane six is hold that one for a second. Then lane 8, Roland Schoeman of South Africa, fast swimmer. He's beat you so tough by 1/100th, 2002 Commonwealth Games. That must have been tough for you.
It was.
And also in 2006. And, yeah, he's really fast, good at the 50 fly as well. And then lane six is Bruno Frattis. That's right.
Bruno.
He qualified fastest in the final last year in Shanghai. He's a fast competitor. Then you got Flo. No one really knows him, but it's a tight race. Okay. On the take your marks, go. Then Florin and Schumann, they're the two swimmers that stay underwater a bit longer. They pop up. Cielo's off to a good start. Then so is Frattis. He's there, but Jones and Cielo, they're up the front. Irvin's up there as well, but you slowly see they're all just in one line after 25 meters. But after when you got 15 meters left, you see Florin Manadou, and the commentator says, you got Jones, you got Manadou. Manadou's leading. Can he touch? And then he slowly works his way ahead and out of nowhere just touches and then beats Jones, who gets the silver, but then bronze goes to Cielo. He beats his teammate, Frattis, by a small inch. So Frattis misses out on a medal. But it's crazy for Flo. I never forget his reaction. He's like this. Yes! Grabs his goggles and hat, gives it a big whack on the water, and then he does that. Let's go. Win. How good. Joins his sister as Olympic gold medalist. So delighted. Then silver, Jones. Good race for him. He's happy with an individual medal. Then third, Cielo. Then fourth, Frattis. Fifth place is Schumann. Fifth place is actually Tony Irvin. Then sixth place is Schumann. Seventh place is Bovell. And eighth place goes to our Aussie Sullivan. But a great race for, Flo. And such a fast time. He did a 21.34. 4/100ths off Cielo's world, Olympic record. And that's so fast for him, doing a 21.30 low. That it was even faster than Adrian's American record he set in 2015. But yeah, just great race for Flo. Hugs his sister after and so delighted to get an individual gold medal on your debut.
Awesome, mate. It's remarkable, your memory for these things. I love your passion. It's been cool having you on the show today, mate. And I'm sure you're going to get some new fans out of this, and keep that Instagram open. It's going to blow up after this. You're going to be popular, but,
mate,
we'll try and get you a gig. But yeah, listen, when some more live shows come around, I'll reach out to you again. We'll get you on a live show. We'll talk about some live swimming. All right.
Thanks so much. All right. I also, funnily enough, you might know her, but I actually met Bronte Campbell this year at some point, because I train at Cranbrook. Do you know where Cranbrook is?
Yeah.
The new Murray Rose.
Yep.
I train there in the squad. And one morning I was swimming and I noticed a girl, and my coach, Ollie, he said to me, "Oi, Otto, that's Bronte Campbell." And I'm like, "What? You're joking." And he's like, "Yeah." And I noticed it's her. She smiles at us. And then I said, "Okay, Ollie, please tell me after the training, when she gets out, I just need to quickly get out and I just want to get a quick photo with her." Anyway, we say, "Yeah, all right." I get out, rush over to her, and I just say, "Oh, hi, Bronte, how are you?" And she's like, "Oh, hello." And we just get a photo, and I tell, "Oh, Bronte, I know you're a two-time world champion from Kazan. You beat Kate, your sister. You come from Africa. That's where you've grown up. You're such a fast swimmer. You were always the underdog behind Kate. And also you're a two-time Olympic gold medalist. And you're one of probably the big Aussies females sprinters to remember." And she's like, "Oh, you know more about me than I know about myself. You're like my Wikipedia page." And yeah, it was just lovely meeting her and stuff.
That's awesome, mate. I love it. Great story. We're going to get to meet a lot of people like her in the future, mate. We'll get you around, and your mum can bring you out to America one day and I can introduce you to a few people, eh?
Yeah, thanks. I'd love to meet all Aussie swimmers.
All right, Otto, thanks, mate. We'll stay in touch.
Yep, thanks so much, Brett. It's a pleasure talking to you.
See you, legend.
Keep in touch.
Bye, mate.